Morning. There we go. It's good to see you this morning. I hope you're enjoying. Your September. I got to get all situated here, otherwise I'll feel out of place. But it is so good to see everybody this morning. I hope you're enjoying your weekend and just excited for to be here in the house of the Lord together. I'm excited to kick off our series that we're going to be doing here for the next, maybe 5 weeks. Sounds about right. 5 weeks. Yeah, about 5 weeks. We'll see how kind of that goes, but just really excited for what the Lord is saying and doing, and I hope you are as well. I got to just take a moment to brag on my wife because she's cool. She is like more than just cool. She's like awesome. She surprised me yesterday with a handmade desk and conference table for my office. And I should have like gotten pictures, but I'm not that. I mean, it's off the charts cool. The cool thing about it too is I have this barn. And it's not like the barns you see on TV. They're like restored. I know someone that has a barn, and many of you have been to it. It's Chad Hansen's barn. It's not like Chad's barn. Chad's barn is like a man cave mansion barn. Mine is like a barn. All of the furniture is made out of my old barn wood. So it's like really cool because I ripped out the barn and put a batting cage in there for my kids to play baseball. So I had all this wood and it all disappeared, and it now is really cool. So anyways, my wife is awesome. So I'm like really excited. I was this morning as I came to finalize just my PowerPoint and my message, I thought, okay, I can't come to the office and study because I will just want to look at my desk and just say, look how cool it is. And so I on purpose went down and studied off-site this morning, and their internet was down. So I couldn't access any of my stuff. So I had to come and just be like, okay, I'm going to just focus in. So just pretty excited, but my wife she's the queen of surprises, so that's pretty cool. Really excited. We're going to start our series today entitled Getting Off of the Island. Getting Off of the Island. We're going to be talking about part one today, You Can't Win Alone. I would tag this series, Leaving a Life of Independence and Isolation to a Place of Relationship and Dependence. Getting off the island. And so over the next 5 weeks, I encourage you to be here. I encourage you, if you miss a Sunday, to listen. Because myself, Pastor Ryan, and Pastor Jim really feel like in the season that we're at as a church, that we need to understand how we're called to live and function together in community and in relationship. And I think you've all heard that phrase before. We're all islands unto ourselves. Well, what in the world does that even mean? I'm just an island, and in my head, I think of these little islands, and, you know, I'm doing my thing over on my island, you're doing your thing, I'm my own person, you're your own person, whatever you do over there on your island is totally cool, I'm going to do my totally cool thing on my island, every once in a while, I'll get on my little fake island boat and have a little island cruise over to your island, hang out there until I get sick of you, and then I'm going to go back into my little island and live my life and do my thing and might think of you on your little island. That's what we're talking about. Getting off of that island when it comes to relationships and community. We're going to use Acts 2, 42 through 47. So you're going to hear this scripture a lot, but Acts of the Apostles, we love the book of Acts, but this is right after Jesus left. And so Jesus is no longer here on the earth. He has left his apostles. He's given us his Holy Spirit. And he said, now you build the church. And so some of the key things that we see of what the apostles did through the leading of the Holy Spirit, I believe is very good insight of what we're called to do as we are called to build the church in whatever year, 2016, in South King County in Maple Valley, Washington, I think there's some great parallels and some great truths. And I don't think they're just great ideas. I believe that there's some great God ideas and some things that if we neglect those things, then I don't believe we'll see the church function fully how Jesus has designed and really imagined his church to be. And so we're going to be spending a lot of time looking at Acts. I'm going to read it and then just take a few things out of it and then move on to our other text for the morning. But you're going to hear this a lot. Let's read it together. It says, "All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity." Verse 47. "All the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved." What an incredible scripture. A great picture of what we're called to be and what I believe the church is called to be. Through this series, here's what we're hoping. Here's what I'm hoping. Here's what our pastoral team is hoping that we accomplish through this series. Number one, we hope to have a revelation of why this issue of community is so close to the heart of Jesus. I want to have a revelation, not just information, but a revelation that says, I understand why the Lord wants community in 2016. So a revelation of why, what's the part of the plan that has to do with community and why the relationships that we have one to another are so key to us functioning as the church. Okay, the second thing we hope to conquer is to acknowledge hang-ups and ideas in our own lives of community that keep us from experiencing true life-giving and life-impacting relationships with one another. How many of you know that you all have experiences that shape who you are today? You all have, Pastor Ryan in a few weeks is going to talk about different lenses that we have when it comes to community, different lenses that we have when it comes to how I relate to you. And those things can either hinder or help us in this cause of community. Okay, the third thing I hope to accomplish is that we get to see the gospel, okay, the good news of Jesus impact this community and the communities that we're a part of. That's my prayer. And lastly, that we would truly open our hearts to what the Lord wants to say to us. That we wouldn't be bound alone by our past relationships, experiences, or wounds. We're going to talk in a little bit, but relationships can be messy. Relationships can be hard. Relationships can be ugly. And I don't want those experiences to hinder us from really experiencing the true relationships that he has for us. So would you pray with me as we get going? Jesus, we just come into your presence. Father, I thank you for community. Father, I thank you that you have given us keys. You have given us a blueprint of what it means to grow your church. Father, we don't want to neglect what you're saying. We don't want to just take what we want and spit out the rest. But Father, we even open our hearts today to what you want to say and what you want to do to us in regards of community. Father, continue to strengthen the work that you're doing here in Jesus' name. Amen. So today, the title of the message is You Can't Win Alone. Now, I don't watch a whole lot of TV. It's not because it's like a spiritual reason. It's because usually I watch TV at night when the kids aren't there. And I don't know what it is, but the way I was wired, if it's like after 8 p.m. and the TV's on, I will fall asleep. It could be a football game. I mean, last night I was trying to watch. It was overtime of the Huskies game. It was second and goal. I don't remember third and goal. I don't know what it is. I just can't stay awake. But when I do wake, there's this show called Alone. Has anyone seen the show Alone? I got two people. Perfect. So I'm not a big endorser of TV, but it is a show put on by Discovery. You can get on a Netflix, and it's called Alone. And pretty much the gist of the show is they get these contestants from all over the world, and they are going to go on a journey. In the last 2 years, it's been up on Vancouver Island, just north of us, and they are allowed to take 10 items with them. They get to pick 10 things to survive in the wilderness. And it's not like in the summertime. Like, it's when the winds and the rains, and they don't have a camera crew. So they equip these guys, and they give them, like, cameras, and they drop them off, like, 7 or 8 miles away from each other. And the whole goal is, can you sustain life? Can you last the longest on this island all alone? You know, and most of the time, they bring like a tarp and an axe and different things for survival. And it's actually really fascinating, which is like, man, how boring would that be? To just, I'm watching a show just seeing these guys live by themselves. And it's gone for 2 years. And, you know, it's pretty cool just to see the creativity. I know one thing, I would not last for 70-something days. I just wouldn't. So that means I'm not ever going to try. But usually the guys, when they tap out, they have like a satellite phone. They don't tap out because they're like, well, I'm just not making it. No, these guys are like whittling like guitars out of wood and like, you know, learning to play the guitar. And I mean, it's just crazy what these guys. So it's not that they tap out because they just can't survive. Most of the time they tap out because they absolutely are going crazy in the cabeza. I mean, they literally are talking to themselves, imagining things, and they can't stand being alone. And I think the winner gets like $100,000. And they're like, I know I could make it all winter. I know I could survive out here, but I'm going crazy. And if the two guys that have won it before in interviews afterwards, they've said, would you do it again if you had a chance at $100,000? And a lot of them go, I don't know. I don't know. Because literally, and that's part of the entertaining thing, is to see them go kind of a little nuts, you know. not gonna lie. But they literally say, I don't know if I would do it. And I think about that because you and I were meant to function with others. Okay, you and I were meant to do life. And so when we try to do something that is against the way that we were created, some crazy things are going to happen. And we're not going to be living fully functioning in the design that God has called us to be. And so I want to paint that picture today because I want to see a church that wins. I want to see a church, not just generational hope, but I want to see the church of Jesus Christ win the world, win their community, win in signs and wonders, because we're going to win together. So we've all heard messages about community, about relationships, about how we are better together. And you and I all go, oh, that's cute. That's a cute title. You know, Jesus said it, not me. We all say that we're meant to be in relational and in community. And I just want to start off probably really bad, but I want to tell you that it is commanded by God. And you're going, why did you start with that? Because I know when someone told me that relationships are commanded by God, something within me resists. Well, I said the C word. Now, guys, how many of you have projects at home and you wake up Saturday and you go, okay, I know I need to accomplish this project today. And you fully intend on doing that project. You get your tools together, and then all of a sudden your wife, in the most sweet way possible, goes, hey, hon, why don't you work on, and she tells the same project that you already planning on working on. And something inside you, all of a sudden you got really busy. You know, I was thinking about doing something else, honey. You resist. Why? Because she wants you to do it. Because there's pride and there's things inside of us that when I say it's commanded by God, we go, well, you're not going to tell me how to spend my time. And all along, I think God is saying, hey, would you really understand the power of relationships and not get uptight about the fact whether it's commanded or not, and just get to know God's heart about relationships. Because it is commanded by Him. But let's not miss the point. Because of a cliche or because of a stereotype or because of all the sayings about we need community, we need one another. Because I'm telling you right now, it's not a heaven or hell issue. It's not. But your Christian life will be totally boring, dull, and you will be missing a big part of it if you neglect having relationships and true community in your life. So we want this. So let's not miss the point in the carnival of it all about it being commanded. Let's say, Lord, would you come in? And we want to have an open mind to what you're saying. So looking at the early church here in verse 42, I'm going to read it again. It says, the believers devoted themselves to the teaching, to the fellowship, and to the sharing in meals, and to prayer. And a deep sense of awe came over them, and all the apostles performed many miracles, signs, and wonders. So my second point today, number one was, it's a command. Second point is the spiritual climate around us is directly connected to the health of the relational climate around us in our community. Okay, the spiritual climate in our lives is directly connected to the relational climate in our lives. That's truth this morning. You want to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, as we talked about the last 5 weeks? You want to walk in a full understanding of Jesus? Well, then we need to walk in a full understanding together, accomplishing His will and His work. Because the relationships we have here are vitally connected to the relationships that we have with Jesus. So I believe as we invest into relationship with the Holy Spirit, and as we are devoted to what? Devoted to the teaching, devoted to fellowship, devoted to prayer, devoted to meals. Now, I'm devoted to meals, but it's not talking about just eating. It's talking about communing together, sharing together. You know, it's not talking about attending church. And again, good job for being here today, right? Good job. It's not talking about that. It says, are you devoted to fellowship? Are you devoted to prayer? Let me tell you something very honestly. It is very easy to listen to a sermon. I love listening to sermons. It is very easy to pray. I'm just praying. We all can pray. It's simple to pray. It's simple to listen to a sermon. But you ask me to fellowship? Things just got real. You ask me to share a meal? That means you're going to see how messy maybe your house is, or my house is, because I got a lot of kids. Listen, it's easy to be devoted to hearing the teaching. But it gets real when you ask us to share life together. You know, but I see this correlation the way I read scriptures, that we see this fellowship going on and then we see miracles. Do we honestly believe that as we partake in community that the miracles of heaven can happen in our midst? I hope we can believe that, because I see it in scripture. And I say, man, if we apply ourselves, then will we see some of those miracles? Because this is, again, this is a recipe that we have in the New Testament. And we see the end result of community happening and people being added, not to their church services, but people being added to community, to those walking in signs and wonders and fellowship and meals. So I want to look at another great passage of scripture. Pastor Ryan mentioned it a little bit this morning. It's in Hebrews 10, 19 through 25, and this is it. I'm going there right at the beginning here. I'm going after the church scripture. It says this. It says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we boldly enter heaven's holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great priest who rules over God's house, let us go into God's presence with sincere hearts, trusting him fully. For our conscience has been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. Our bodies have been washed with pure water." Verse 23, "Let us hold tightly, without wavering, to the hope that we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." Okay, so we got to understand that this scripture was written in a pretty interesting time in the Jewish culture. Okay, the Jewish people, had been accustomed to a relationship with God. They taught it to their kids. They participated in worship. Their whole life was based around this relationship with God. And for a long time, there was always this anticipation of someone greater to come. Okay, they taught their kids that someday there's going to be a new covenant. Jesus was prophesied over. He was promised. He was anticipated. And then all of a sudden, Jesus was on the scene. He went to heaven. And now everything in their culture is different. So you got to put yourself in their position as we look at this scripture. Because they had anticipated. Have you ever anticipated something? And then all of a sudden it happens. And then it's like reality kind of sits in. And then it's like, oh, my life is now affected because of this new reality. Well, this is what the Jewish people what's going on in their culture and in their minds and in their families, that something that was anticipated is now, and everything is different. People are coming into their places of worship that are not Jewish. And they don't act Jewish, meaning they don't know how to act in church. They're Gentiles. Their beliefs are different. Their families are different. A lot of weird customs that they have held so close to their hearts are being messed with now. Traditions, you can't touch that tradition, because you're not supposed to enter in that way, because they were living in some pretty shaky times. A lot of transition was going on in their midst. Does that make sense to anybody? I could say we're probably living in some pretty uncertain times as I look at our world. A lot of things I see don't make sense to me. They don't make sense to the church. The face of the church is changing, not just our church. The face of the church is changing. And it makes me a little uneasy sometimes, because I like my traditions. And all tradition's not bad, okay? Tradition can be very good. But he's writing to a group of people that are experiencing a lot of change. And so the writer's saying, hey, church, I know things are weird. I know there's a lot of shaking going on. I know it seems like these traditions don't matter anymore. The end is drawing near. He's saying times are serious. Things are shaking. So you need to apply yourself to what I'm saying, because it's different now. Okay? You need to practice these things because of the times that we're living in. It's important. Okay, listen. There was a time that island living, you do your thing all the time. There was a time that maybe that worked okay for you. Maybe not. But it's not going to work any longer. You can't have your walls up any longer, because the times we're living in are going to require us to live differently. So I want to look at the scripture in depth here today. I want to look at the foundations of how we win together. The first thing I want to look at is the word hope. Okay, it says this. It says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise." How many of you in this room can say, because of Jesus, you have a hope in your life? Okay, I can boldly say this morning, because of Jesus, I have a hope that I didn't have. And the hope that Jesus gives, it says it does not disappoint. So at some point in your life, you're here today, but at some point, Because of Jesus, you were given hope. Okay? You were going through your life. And in fact, the Bible says that you were dead in your sins. You were dead in your sins. And at some point, Jesus came, he gave you life, and he saved you. We are all this morning, I hope, saved by the grace of Jesus. I was lost, I was dead, I was separated, I was hopeless, and Jesus came in and he said, and now, because you know me, you have a hope. He found you, he caught you, you have been saved. Okay? We have been saved because of Jesus. We have this hope, and the scripture says, hold on to the what? To the hope. Hold on to the hope that you have. Okay, don't waver because you have a hope. Listen, that is the reason we're here today. It's because I'm holding on to the hope. You're holding on to this hope. Listen, we're not gathering here as just one halfway dysfunctional church family because we have to. We're not gathering this morning because we all have the same political beliefs. Because we don't. We're not gathering because we agree on every social issue. We're not gathering because we agree on how to have good kids and a successful marriage. Because your ideas are probably different than the guys next to you. That's not why we gather this morning. We gather because we all share the hope that we have in Jesus. And that is what makes this community. And that is how we can function. And you know what? I can think differently than you on some things. And that's okay. And you can think differently than me on things. And that's not okay. I'm just playing. Right? That's okay. Because we hold tightly to the hope that we share together. Okay? That is why we're here. That is why we meet in community, because we share that hope. Listen, this hope, it's not enough for just me. And Pastor Ryan said it earlier, well, I've got the hope. Well, good for you. But that hope that's inside of me is meant to be shared with those who don't know that hope. And so when we come together on Sunday mornings or Saturday nights or any other time, it's an opportunity that we get to stir the hope that's inside of us. And so we walk in that hope and we win together. To come and be refreshed, that's what we have in common this morning. Gives us everything in common because of that hope. The second thing I want to look at is the word motivate. Now, I love that word motivate. And no, I'm not talking about, you know, motivational speaking. You know, that stuff is just pretty funny. But I want to look at the word motivate this morning. And it says this in verse 24 of our text. It says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to what? To acts of love and to good work. So, motivate one another to action. Listen, last week, Pastor Ryan talked about Mordecai, and he said, who are the Mordecais in your life? Meaning, who is speaking into your life? Who is giving you advice? Who is giving you truth? Who is keeping you on course when you want to go off course? Who's guiding you? Okay, so the Bible is saying to motivate one another. Well, that word motivate can mean a lot of different things because, you know, again, when I say motivate, you think of, you know, I don't know, a motivational speaker with curly hair or something like that, right? The word motivate, it also means to be concerned for one another, to stir one another, to provoke one another. Now, I'm really good at provoking my kids sometimes, teasing them, right? Calling them cute when they don't want to be called cute. Provoke, it also means to irritate one another. Well, sometimes you irritate me. Sometimes I may irritate you, right? You may say something to me and I go, ugh. I don't want to hear that, whoever you are. It may be the truth, but that irritates me. Listen, I'm where I'm at today, and you're at where you're at today because at some point in your life, you listened to the irritations and the provoking of someone else in your life. Okay? We're called. It says that you and I are accountable to be concerned for one another. And so when I see my friends and I see my family walking in ways that I know are going to lead them to destruction, it is my job and my privilege to be concerned for your well-being. It is your job to be concerned for my spiritual well-being. So I want to live in a community where we can provoke one another, where we can irritate one another. To what? To love and to good works. That when I have something in my life, and you have something in your life, you say, I see this in you. I see the call of God on your life. I see the gifts and the talents. Are you using those for God's glory and for His kingdom, or are you doing nothing with those things? Listen, I've been irritated before. Growing up, I remember times in my teen life that I had people that spoke things to me and it bugged me. Ooh, it bugged me. But it was the very thing that I needed because it stirred me and it said, Justin, you're more. Justin, you can do more. Justin, get to the heart of the issue, right? And I'm really challenged by this, especially in the role and where we're at now is, you know, I see things in people's lives and it's like, man, it's just easier just to ignore it. You know what? It's easier to not provoke this person to love and good works because they're not going to want to hear it. Shame on me. Shame on us. We're called to carry one another, to encourage, to provoke, to motivate. Keep using those giftings. Keep using that call of God. Listen, in doing this, in this type of way, it shows that we care about one another. So the question, it gets real here. Who's actively speaking into your life? And when they tell you something that you disagree with, how are you going to respond? That's the fun part. I know who's speaking in my life. But have you ever had someone that comes to you for advice, and they're like, I just need you. And you tell them, and then they do the exact opposite of what you told them. And you're like, you already were going to do what you wanted to do. Why'd you waste my time? And pretty much to make yourself feel better. No, I don't think you should do this. 2 days later, what are you doing? I'm just doing this. I'm like, really? So who's speaking into your life? And how are you going to deal with it when they say something that you disagree with? The second part is, whose life are you speaking into? Whose life are you concerned with? You know, are you motivating the person on your left or the person that you're in community with? Or are you just, hopefully they figure it out. Lord, let us be a church that knows how to motivate one another to love and good works. The third thing I want to talk about, this one. And again, this is, of course, this is the one I'm not talking to you because, you know, you're here, right? You're at church. So, you know, you can just ignore this point, right? Don't ignore this point. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some do. So what he's saying here, is he saying, hey, remember, he's talking to the Jewish culture, and he's saying, hey, I realize you have your ways of doing your relationship with God. I realize that you have your customs. I realize that you know how to worship. I realize that you know how to raise your kids. I realize that you know how to do a lot of those things. I realize that you have rhythms of life. And that your whole life is an example of serving the Lord. He says, hey, I realize that. You have your traditions. But I want you to add something to your traditions. I want you to take another element and add it and make it part of your habit. Make it part of your, what's a good word? Your custom. He's saying, I realize you have rhythms. You know, many of us, we have rhythms of life that we operate in. right? I get into a rhythm with my kids. I get into a rhythm with my wife, especially school time. We have rhythms of how we do our schedule, right? I know that we do this, this, and this, and we have this sport and that sport, and we have homework to do, and we have to meet with this person or meet with that person, and we have church on Sundays. And the writer's saying, hey, I realize all that. Now add something to it. Make sure that community is part of that rhythm. Okay, again, the traditions aren't bad. Okay, but he's saying add something because there's something to your life that is missing. And it's this aspect of community, of custom. He's saying make relating to others part of your custom, meaning do the soccer, do the lacrosse. Do the whatever you need to do, but don't neglect community. Don't neglect meeting together as some do. Don't neglect it. Yeah, life is busy. Life is demanding. But we need to understand the value of community. Because I'm not going to miss my kids' lacrosse. I'm not going to miss my kids' soccer, right? Because it's important. Well, it is. But so is meeting together. Because you're going to grow as you meet together. We're going to win as we don't neglect that meeting together. Yeah, do your nap time, do your tummy time, do your bedtime, do all those times. Tummy time, you lay a kid on his stomach and, you know, let him practice holding his head up, right? I got a schedule. My kid has snack time. All those times. Do those times. Do those schedules. But don't neglect meeting together. Okay, it's not burdensome to meet together. When you understand the power that's going to come as you meet, as you relate. Why? Why do we do this? Because the days are dark. Because the end is drawing near. Number four, last point today. The word encourage. The last part of the scripture says to encourage one another, especially now that the days of his return are drawing near. So I love that word encourage, right? We all love to be encouraged. I find it really interesting that the word encourage means parakleo. Okay, the last few weeks we've been talking about the paraclete. That is the name of the Holy Spirit. Well, paracleo is the human form of the same definition of the Holy Spirit. And so paraclete, the name for the Holy Spirit, means to abide with, to advocate for, to help, to encourage, to assist. So the Holy Spirit, we know what he's supposed to do in our life, but that's the same thing that you and I are supposed to do for one another. Paracleo. It's the human form of Holy Spirit. So you and I are called to help, to come alongside, to be an advocate. Why? Because times are tough. Why? Because the days are dark. Why? Because he's coming back. And we need to stand together and encourage one another. Listen, we've all been given a shield of faith, right? I've got my little shield, and it's supposed to, what does the word say? To distinguish the fiery arts of the enemy. So I have a visual picture of me holding my little shield up, and the enemy's going to come, and my little shield of faith is going to protect me. And what the cool picture of that definition of our shield of faith is it's not supposed to be you standing alone with your little shield. Because how many of you know standing alone, you're still pretty vulnerable, even with your shield? Okay, but the picture goes back to a military visual that says, I'm holding my shield, the guy is holding his shield, and we all have our shields. And I get close to you. And you get close to the guy next to you, and we interlock our shields, and we stand, sorry about the visual, and we create a barrier together, A barrier that says no dart is getting through this wall, because I'm encouraging the one on my left and the one on my right. And one may be easily overtaken, but you can't do two. Three, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. So when we stand together and encourage one another, we are literally creating a wall of faith together that the enemy cannot get through. And his darts, his attacks, they won't come because there's nowhere for them to come. As we stand together. And you know what? We need to stand together. Because we're going to win together as we stand together. Listen, everything that Jesus did wasn't meant to end with him. Everything that Jesus did wasn't meant to end with you. It was meant to go on. It was meant to encourage. It was meant to shape the future. It was meant for generational hope, not the church, the vision. It was meant so we can be a place where we see people giving their lives up for sons and daughters, people making sacrifices today so that the next generation wouldn't have to. It wasn't meant to die with us. So today, as we kick off, getting off the island, where it's going to be great. Pastor Jim, Pastor Ryan, myself, we're just really excited for the next couple weeks. But as we kick this off, first of all, would you stand with me this morning? And I'm asking you to do these three things, just three, right? Could be 10. But number one, would you allow the Holy Spirit to open your heart to the truth of community in your life? Will you say, Holy Spirit, would you open my heart to what you want to say to me when it comes to community? Number two, would you allow the Holy Spirit to heal you where you've been hurt when it comes to community? Because I realize it's messy. It could hurt. I realize many of you have been hurt by maybe some of the closest people to you.